This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings. I'm back. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 25th. March 25th? Thank you very much. It's August 25th. You guys, stop screwing with me. I'm not even awake yet. Episode 984. I hate you guys. It's brought to you by Alpha Equine. See, I will just read.
Welcome back, Jamie.
Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Shut up.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody, here on this Monday morning, the beginning of the World Equestrian Games today in France. And we welcome Jamie back. Gotcha.
I'm tired. I have a hangover from vacation. You could have written anything. I'd have said it.
Well, welcome back. We missed you.
Thanks, you guys. I would like to say I missed you, too, but I kind of really enjoyed being in the middle of nowhere for a whole week.
Did you morning? Did you sleep in? Did you sleep till like 8 o'clock?
Oh, my gosh. They serve breakfast from like 7 to 9, and I think at 8:55, I would run over to the breakfast thing and going, wait, just give me something to take back to the room because Chad would still be asleep. The baby would still be asleep. It was great. And so every morning they're like, oh, here she comes. And they would pack me a meal and I would take it back to the room. That's how lazy I was.
Well, that's good because, you know, what people don't realize about the morning radio people is that's the one thing they never get any of is sleep. Because you're going to bed the same time as everybody else, but you're getting up early. So, you know, you're getting a lot less sleep than everybody else. So I'm glad you got the sleep in. That's good.
Yes, thank you very much. And, of course, for those who are just tuning in and didn't hear last week, I was at the Diamond D Ranch in Idaho. We landed in Boise, and I was like, who lands in Boise for a vacation? But I get it now. I get it.
I couldn't have been a big airport. I don't imagine Boise, you don't have to wait in line too long for security, do you? At Boise.
I saw, Glenn, celebrities. There was paparazzi. It was crazy. It was like landing in Los Angeles. Wait, no, it wasn't. You know what? You know how awesome Boise is? I lost my ID somewhere in the Diamond D Ranch, and my ID is there, and they still let me on the plane. They were like, do you have, like, a credit card or something? And I did.
Really?
here you go. I gave them a Costco card and a credit card, and they let me on the plane. That's Boise for you.
On the plane with a Costco card?
Yes. He was like.
In the Costco with a Costco card.
Yeah, we're in Boise, and I couldn't find my ID, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't find my ID. And he was like, do you have anything with your name on it, maybe a picture, like a Costco card? And I go, that I do. So I got my Costco card out, and he was like, anything else? I'm like, I have a credit card. They're like, okay, you're in. But they did pat me down just in case, you know, which is always fun. But, yeah, that's Boise for you. It was lovely.
That's funny. Well, we're going to talk a lot more about your vacation here, as well as a bunch of other stuff, and Jennifer's going to tell us what it is.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday Equine Edition, the epic Idaho adventure has concluded, and Jamie is back, as you have noticed, with a herd of stories alternating between hilarious and hair-raising. And then continuing our westward trek, WISA President Mark Broughton fills us in on the Denver market, a.k.a. cowboy and cowgirl nirvana. And then wrapping up the show, Glenn has a wrap-up of the World Equestrian Games opening ceremonies and the first days of competition, so stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie is a happy birthday, and it goes out to my niece, or our niece, Jennifer and my niece, named Carrie, who just graduated from, well, now she now has her master's degree. She just got that in Philadelphia, so congratulations for that. And happy birthday, Carrie. And I would play the birthday song if I could find it. Oh, there it is. All right, your turn. First daily win of the week.
Well, it is no secret that I am back, and I am poring over all of the race day information that I missed over the weekend or over the last week. And we're going to talk some races here in just a second, and we're actually going to play one from over the weekend. But Wise Dan, my boyfriend, is back. He breezed over the weekend, and it was one of the fastest times at the distance that he ran. It was a half mile. And now the trainer, Charlie Lopresti, is saying that he could be back as early as 5 days. He could run in the, let me see, I'm looking for the Bernard Baruch Handicap, and that is going to take place September 1st, or he could, that's going to take place August 30th, and there's another one September 14th, the Woodbine Mile. He's going to run in one or the other. The Woodbine Mile, he's won the last 2 years, so it would be like a three-peat. But he, after colic surgery, he's a stud. I mean, come on. Except for he's not a stud, he's a gelding. But he's awesome.
Well, great. Very good. And we're going to talk a little bit more about racing as we come up here. And as I did say, we're going to have, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be having WEG coverage every day. So we'll do 10, 15 minutes of WEG coverage to try and keep you up to date on what's going on. If you're not following it too closely, then we'll try and keep you going every day. And we'll be doing that on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well when we have our special episodes. So at the end of those episodes, I'll continue to do the WEG updates because it only happens once every 4 years. So we'll provide some coverage of it. We have a bunch of people going to be checking in with us from over there. Leslie from Horse Nation is on her way there right now. She's on the airplane at this moment heading to France, and she said she would check in with us, and we have several other reporters and things. So we will make sure that we keep you informed and get as much coverage as we can on all of our shows here at the Horse Radio Network. Today, David Saunders and I are going to be talking driving. He actually drove in the first WEG competition way, way back, and he is going to be talking a little bit about how the WEGs have, what's happened to the WEGs over the years. So that'll be all happening on the Driving Radio Show coming up.
Tell him I said hi and that I love him.
Okay, I will.
Thanks.
I'll tell him.
Okay.
Well, now I'm sure his girlfriend will be happy to hear that.
Fiance.
Oh, is it fiance?
Yeah, it's fiance. That's what he said last time. He said he was engaged. Yeah, he said he was engaged.
She's
really pretty, and he's very sweet. And I follow him on Facebook. We're Facebook friends, so it's kind of like we're dating, sort of.
All right, I have to bring that up today. Well, tell us about vacation. I saw pictures. You posted some pictures of you out there riding in the mountains and also shooting some bows and arrows and also fishing. You went fishing.
I did. I went fly fishing. I love fly fishing. There is something about standing in a beautiful place like that and throwing in a fly, knowing that I'm bad enough to not catch anything. So I don't have to worry about the stress of, like, catching a fish and pulling it out of the water and all that stuff. So I just cast the fly back and forth. I'm like Brad Pitt in that movie where he fly fishes. And it's great, and like bald eagles flew by, and we saw salmon. Like I said, salmon would swim by me, and of course they have no interest in anything I have. So they would. So I could see the fish in the water. I videoed some of the fish in the water.
Were they laughing at you as they swam by? Were they sticking their tongues out, going na 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 na?
They just shoot the middle finger when they go by. They swim by, and they're like, you see the little fin come out of the water, you know. It's hilarious. My husband had better luck, but we had a lot of fun. Pretty much my daily activities at this place, and tell me this is not a dream come true, is you wake up in the morning, you go get breakfast, and you bring in, you have breakfast in bed. And then I would get dressed and head down to the corral where my horse would be waiting for me, tacked up already. Stirrups already done. I don't think I did adjust stirrups once. They knew my stirrup length. They asked me if I wanted to ride one horse or several horses, and I said I want a different horse every day, simply because if I rode a different horse every day, I would not fall in love with the one I spent the week with and cry as I left it, which is typically
smart
what would
move.
Happen. Yeah, thank you. I thought that was pretty smart. So I rode a different horse every day. And I'm not kidding you guys. They have like 35 horses that come in every day. They have, you know, thousands and thousands of acres that other horses are out grazing on, and they have pack horses, and they do all sorts of different trips. But I did not meet a horse that I did not like. These horses are so broke. Glenn, you would love to ride them. I'll get back to that in a second. But I got up in the morning, I rode horses. I came back. My lunch was cooked already. And by the way, I had a babysitter. So my husband and I rode together every morning.
Oh, wow.
And we go.
You haven't done that
kid.
Since you had the baby.
I know, right? Exactly. 14 months, and I finally get a babysitter. And they would play with them on the swing set, and they had all these different activities for kids. And so it was great. And huge grass field. I mean, you could just turn them out and let them go. You just go. We can speak to you. So they babysat him. I'd come back, and then I would have an awesome lunch, and they have gourmet food catered to my vegetarian delight. So they would make, and of course, Chad ate more meat than a human should eat in a week. It was disgusting.
Oh, he got to eat beef, like real red meat?
He ate real, I think he ate. He
an entire
ate,
cow.
No, he ate, I think, every animal in the animal kingdom that we use for food. It was like every day was some different dead animal. And then, of course, I would have my catered vegetarian food that my son and I ate because Chad kept trying to give him meat and he spit it out every time. I was very proud. So after lunch.
But Chad was like, I'm on vacation, woman. I'm eating what I want. Screw you.
Yeah, we both got fat. It's bad. We put on a lot of weight. And the dessert, every meal, there was a dessert, and it was so good. So we, after lunch, yours truly would go take a nap, and Chad would go fish. And then Lucas and I would take a nap and then wake up, and then there's dinner again. And then after dinner, there was always some activity. My activity of choice every night after dinner was archery because I realized I've got to be good at this by the time I leave. And so I'm kind of into it. I'm not very good, and usually I'd already had a glass of wine with dinner. So my accuracy needed a little work, but it was super fun. I like archery. I want to be one of those girls that ride horses and shoots bows and arrows. I'm going to do it.
Well, you know what? I saw the pictures of you. You had good form. So now, with your archery skills by the end of the week, were you out hunting deer and things?
Oh, man, let me tell you, I slayed nothing. I shot at a target, and sometimes I hit the target. And it was really fun. And they were not suction cup arrows, so as somebody said. but you said my form was good. They actually had somebody that taught me everything. I took an archery lesson. It was awesome. My husband, however, did hunt. They have pack trips, and you can hunt things, but he didn't do that. I think he took out a lot of frustration that happened from living here in our house because they gave him a gun and took him hunting gopher. Apparently, at like 5:30 at night, all the gophers are very active up in their north pasture or whatever. And so he and JR, who's associated with the ranch, would go up and hunt gopher. I think he did it like four times. And every time he would leave and I said, don't tell me what happened when you're gone. Don't tell me how many things you killed. And every time he came back, I'm like, did you kill anything? He's like, no. So he did not actually kill any gopher, but he felt like a hunter hunting. And gopher are bigger than he hunted groundhogs.
Groundhogs,
we have tiny little gophers.
Yes, you have gophers.
He was hunting, Yeah. Groundhogs
groundhogs are about four times the size.
Yeah. They're like the size of small dogs. And they
used to hunt groundhogs, or we used to hunt them in our back paddock because they would make the big holes the horses would step in. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's their problem, too. So, yeah, excuse me. We hunt gophers at our house, which are like the size of guinea pig. And these are huge, and they make huge holes, so they can't even turn the horses out in that hay field. So, yeah, so he did hunt, and he fished, and he had a blast, and he rode horses with me. And Glenn, you know, they were asking me if you would like the experience. And I said, well, Jennifer would love it because she trail rides. And these, every trail ride we went on, they're climbing rides. So there's no, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about us like taking off at a gallop and leaving you, because you pretty much have to walk. I mean, it is straight up and straight down. But when you go on the straight up, it's like every day was this postcard view. It was amazing. And so you go straight up to some view and then you wind your way back down, or you'd wind your way back up and head straight back down. Every day was different. It was awesome. And I think you would really like it because it wasn't a stressful ride at all. It was very beautiful. And these horses are so broke. Okay, we're going down, and you guys saw the day I posted a picture of riding in the rain. I mean, it was pouring, and they provided us all with these Outback jackets, and I wore my husband's hat. It was great, and I wore my helmet for that ride, but then the picture, I had to put the Aussie hat on because I looked awesome. And so we ride back down in the rain, and it's awesome and just incredible. And as we're riding on the string of horses, there was like 30 guests the week I was there, but there was probably 12 of us out. A tree fell, boom, next to the trail. My horse literally looked at him and was like, that's a tree. Like, none of them spooked. It was insane. I never saw one horse spook at anything, and we're talking squirrels run out, and govers run out, and birds are flying around. You go through rivers and you go up and down these mountains, and literally not one horse gave a crap about anything. And they're all so fit. That's what butt muscles actually should look like on a horse. These climbing muscles these horses have. Amazing. It was awesome. It was awesome. So the riding was
fantastic.
And
I assume you didn't go on the same trail twice. You probably did different trails every day.
You know, I did tell him, I said, you could take me on the same one every day. I'm so directionally challenged that I would have no idea. But no, we did not go on the same one twice. Every day we rode out a different area of the ranch. We're talking millions of acres. So it was as this view and that view, and every picture you take there is a postcard. It was awesome.
I'm actually looking at your pictures right now, and you're right. And I assume down in the valley, the pictures of you up on the hill, down in the valley is the actual ranch, I'm assuming.
Down in that valley, but then you rode to other sides of other mountains. And there were, for the initiated people, there were like day-long hikes to hot springs in the mountains, and there's a mystery lake hike that takes all the – yeah, I'm not hiking all day. Like, it's not going to happen. But there were some really fit people that liked that kind of stuff, not me. So it was great. I mean, you could see the ranch from some of the mountains, and you couldn't even see it from other parts. And there was a bear that came into the cabin camp twice. I mean, it's out there. It's so remote that when you land in Boise, you have like a 3.5-hour drive. And the last hour of your drive, it wasn't scary, but it was pretty rough. I mean, you are driving on the side, Glenn, you would love it, the sides of a mountain on these old mining roads from, I mean, like 80 years ago or 100 years ago. You're driving on the sides of these mountains on these rocky, mining roads going up and down and around the mountain. So it was really, really cool. But it was rough. And getting in there, you know, I'm like, okay, we made it. On the way out, we had to leave really, really early. So we pulled out of there at like 7 a.m. They packed our breakfast because, God forbid, we miss a meal. So they pack our breakfast. And as we're driving out, Lucas is really hungry. So he ate scrambled eggs every morning. That's all he'll eat. So I'm feeding him scrambled eggs. And we're on the side of the mountain. And then we get to the very tippy top. And everything comes back out.
Oh, no. All the
twisty,
windy turning you to him.
he threw. I don't think I'll ever be able to eat scrambled eggs again. Because let me tell you, I didn't realize he had eaten that much, and he had them all back in the back, and he just eating. Oh my God! So the point I'm making is that there is the option when you get to the Boise airport to charter a plane that takes you to the ranch. They have a landing strip at the ranch. And I highly suggest spending the extra money if you have a child.
Oh, that'd be fun to fly in. That would be fun to do that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Some people did, and they fly down, they buzz the ranch, and it's really, really cool. So I definitely suggest that. I told Chad, next time we go, we're flying in. I don't care how much it costs. I'm not putting this child in the car seat on the side of a mountain again and feeding him anything. But all in all, I mean, it was a 10 out of 10 vacation. And it's called the Diamond D Ranch, and it's in Idaho. So if you Google it, just put Diamond D Idaho, because there's one in Florida, which looks really lame. It's not that one.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. That sounded like fun.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. Shooting
and
archery.
That does sound like the kind of riding I like, the slow trail riding. I can handle that.
Slow views up and down mountains, and every person that works there, I'm going to show you some pictures. I'll continue to post them throughout the week. But every single girl that works there is absolutely gorgeous. Like, the girl who took our trail ride every day is 21 and is joining the Peace Corps as soon as she finishes grad school. And, by the way, she goes to college on a running scholarship. So we're talking, like, fit, beautiful, smart women, you know, and I loved her to death, but I was like, Chad, you're riding behind me. Like, I'll ride behind her, you ride behind me. You don't need to stare at that butt the entire time we're riding and then come back home to me. That's not going to happen. Is that terrible? Should I not have said that?
No, you're probably right, because we are guys.
You're a guy. He's like, I'll take the lead. I'm like, no, you won't. Get behind me.
That's funny. But you're so short you can see anyway. So that was that, either way, you're screwed. Now, were they quarter horses? They looked like quarter horses and nappies and stuff.
They had, obviously no thoroughbreds, but there was a couple. I really wanted to ride the draft horse. They had a draft cross, like it was some sort of roan draft. You probably would have known the breed, that's for the big guests. And then they said they used to have a Clydesdale that they would use for the really big guests. But a lot of paints, a lot of quarter horses, some appies, some really sporty looking, almost like, I mean, they were quarter horses, but that line of quarter horses where they have very refined kind of Araby heads and they're very quick, you know, and sporty looking. So a lot of different types of quarter horses, and then a lot of them they breed at the farm. You know, they breed like two babies a year simply because you can't get horses in there. I said, I want to bring Edward. We'd have to airlift him in, you know, to put him on a plane and helicopter.
He'd
with
be dangling
the
from the helicopter
yeah.
and drop him into the field.
I mean, he'd be broke by the end of the whole trip, let me tell you that. But yeah, it was fantastic. It was great, and the horses were really, really good. And these quarter horses with these dinner plate feet, I mean, those are what their feet are supposed to look like, just tough and rocked hard and huge.
They didn't have shoes on from what I could see.
Oh, no, all the horses had shoes. All of them had horseshoes.
Okay.
You are riding in some rocks and everything. And I felt terrible. One of the horses I rode, you know, came back with I think I might have pulled it off when he was in the river. And he walked all the way back, you know, and I didn't even realize that he was missing a shoe. And if my horse lost a shoe, he'd limp home. He'd be like, I can't go on. I can't go any further, you know. So these horses were so tough and so good. And Glenn, I mean, my husband, they were like, we're going to give you your husband the advanced one. I'm like, really? Is that a good idea? Advanced being like what? He's going to walk up a hill a little faster? Like, I mean, it looked like Hidalgo, and it was beautiful, and I thought that was great because it took good pictures, and that was the advanced one? Really? I could have rode that one backwards with my eyes closed. These horses are so good.
Well, it does look like fun.
Yeah.
So you go back. You got a full, you know, full bail.
You know, we were already talking about planning our next one. I think for my 40th birthday in a couple years, we're going to have to go back. That'd be the way to spend it.
Well, you know, we had you were very close to Jared Rogerson because he remember he's out there, and he was our celebrity last week on Celebrity Trivia. So he said,
"No way, I missed Jared Rogerson as celebrities. You have to get him back." He sent me a message actually.
I told him you'd be mad about it, and he said, "Well, she's my neighbor. She's right down the. She's a couple mountains over from me. So apparently, you weren't too far from where he rides and does his job."
Oh my God! If I'd have known that, we'd have crested the mountain. Continued on. Yeah, Jerry, he sent me a message that said, "You're in Idaho. We need to plan a pack trip for you and your hubby to the Wind River Mountains of Wyoming." He said that he and his wife could be the guide for us. I didn't realize
well,
because he's on our show.
That would be skipping out true trip there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's too tough for me. I like to have a breakfast in bed and, like, really nice meals and everything. It was great.
You like your hotel experience while you're there.
I did. I'm not going to lie. Having the horses tacked up and ready, and then I get off and I go back and they untack them and do whatever they're going to do. You know, I like my way. But thank you, Jared. That would be really fun. Maybe you could guide for me at the Diamond D.
Well, that's cool. We have a guest coming up here shortly, and then we're going to talk a little racing and more, and then we're going to talk about the World Equestrian Games, and we'll be doing all of that coming up here in a minute. Do you know what the website is for people? Just Google it.
No, it's DiamondDRanch-Idaho.com.
Dash Idaho. Okay. That's what it is. Very good. Well, let's take a little break for our title sponsor of this show, and, of course, that's Omega Alpha Equine. We had the opportunity to spend some time with the good folks at Omega Alpha Equine while we were at ADA last week.
Dr. Chang? Was he Dr.
No,
Chang there?
No, he wasn't there. He's on vacation. He was in vacation. Well, he's not on vacation. Well, he still has family in China, and he also, a lot of the herbs that they use for their formulations, because everything's all natural, come from China. So he was oversourcing product. So it was a working vacation in China. And
can you imagine being the security guard checking his luggage at the airport?
He's coming out all the time. Can you imagine what he must smell like? I mean, to the sensor thing after checking out all these herbs?
Well, we need to wipe your palms with this thing. No, no, really, don't do that, please.
They were explaining that. It was absolutely fascinating because their products are all natural. They bring all of, they'll get, you know, 500 pounds of this one plant, and then they take it, Omega Alpha up in Canada, they actually take all of that, they do the grinding, the big mortar and pestles or whatever, pestles, what are they called?
Mortar.
And they'll grind it all up themselves, and then they put it in the various formulations for all their different products in the amounts that they need. But so they bring in all the raw, and I never thought about it before how they do it. I always thought they just got powders in, you know. Mm-hmm. It was shipped over powder, and then they mixed up all the powders, but that's not how it works. They actually get the raw plants in, and then because apparently how you process the plant is as important as anything in making good quality product and supplements. So they have the processes down pat, and they do that in-house as well. So if you're looking for, you know, a supplement for your horse that is all natural and really processed and with the most care and scientifically tested in their labs, then Omega Alpha Equine is the one you want to take a look at. There are many WEG horses over there right now, including Jessica Phoenix's, that are using Omega Alpha Equine. So, and a matter of fact, Omega Alpha is over there as well. So check them out at OmegaAlphaEquine.com, and you can follow them on Facebook as well at Omega Alpha Equine. Well, our first guest today is what we just talked about, Ada. We saw Dr. Chang, or we saw Dr. Chang's people, Omega Alpha Equine, and a bunch of other wholesalers at Ada when we were there last week. We go every 6 months. Well, there's a Western version of that because Ada is mostly English products. It's on the East Coast. It's in Philadelphia. And then the counterpart to that, I would really say it's sort of like the Western version of that, is called WESA. and it's the Western English Sales Association, and they hold theirs twice a year at Denver. It's also referred to, we've heard it referred to as the Denver Market. And we have the president of WESA on with us, Mark. Hey, Mark, how are you this morning?
Doing well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I have never personally been to WESA. I've been to ADA for the last 20 years and never made it out to WESA. I've got to do that sometime.
Definitely. It's a great time had by all, and there's a lot going on, a lot of excitement in Denver in general that time of year. And we do put on one of the biggest, best-attended shows for the trade on the planet, actually.
Yeah, you have it's much, much bigger than ADA. And now it's the same concept, though. It's where the wholesalers and the manufacturers come in and sell to retailers?
That's exactly right. Yeah, we have about 4,500 different product lines shown with about 800 different vendors at the January market. The September market is coming up here in 2 weeks, isn't nearly as big, but it makes for a good fall market. But the January market is the big one, and we do a huge amount of business. Our vendors really depend on getting that good start for the year.
Now, how did WESA start, and how long ago?
Oh, I can't tell you the exact details because it was way before my time, but it's a 92-year-old organization.
Oh, wow.
It started
okay.
In 1922. They held their first show in a hotel in downtown Denver, and then it just kept growing from there.
Oh, wow. And is it mostly Western product? Is there some English product? Is it a little bit of everything?
It's a little bit of everything. We call it WESA because it's the acronym for Western English Sales Association. But you're right in assuming that it's primarily Western, and it is. We do encourage in every way we can to have a fair number of English vendors represented. But we are competing with ADA, like you mentioned, and they are primarily English. So it does tend to be primarily Western.
And I have heard too that it's a lot of lifestyle too. It's not just Western clothing and saddles and tack. It's a lot of lifestyle things for your home as well.
There is. We encourage and set up our program and that makes it easy or attractive to small vendors. That's a very important aspect of our market, I think. In that we have everything from very small vendors that may just sell a one or two gift items, for example. And then we have the bigger players, like the Cinches and the Wranglers of the industry that are there. So by having all sorts, all sizes of vendors represented and product lines represented, I think it attracts a bigger crowd because they can take care of everything in one place.
Now, it happens, I know the January one happens to be at the same time because I've heard many people who go out there do this every single time they go out there, and that's the National Western Stock Show happens at the same time, right, in Denver?
That's true. And I think it might be coincidental more than on purpose that has occurred, but it does help us in a couple of ways. That time of year, it's really good for our industry to get a good start for the new year, to see new product, get in touch with the new trends, and basically set the stage for a productive and prosperous new year. But in addition to that, the atmosphere in Denver is back to being the cow town that it originally was. Denver kind of grew up being kind of cow town, oil and gas industry, and railroad. So when the first half of January comes around, the locals and everybody is very welcoming to cowboy hats. And there's a lot, and that's the one time a year that cowboy hats may not necessarily outnumber, but they're certainly there in a high number to be represented for the Western industry.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have gone over to the Western Stock Show, and it's huge. I mean, it's big to begin with, and they just have a good time going over and doing that as well. Now, you Now, the president of Ada is usually somebody, a retailer or a wholesaler. Is that the case? Were you a wholesaler or a retailer?
Yes. We have a 13-member board, and then we have officers, and I happen to be the president this term. I do. I've been
because you raised your hand when you weren't supposed to, didn't you? That's what it was.
Not exactly. I accepted. You know, I accepted
okay,
it.
Right.
It was. Yeah, it was. I was convinced that it was a worthwhile thing to do. But that's basically correct. It was my turn, let's say, and we are all employed, fully employed, either as company reps or, as in my case, an independent rep. So I represent different lines in the Western industry.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we've been to Ada, you know, actually we've been covering Ada for the Horse Radio Network for 6 years now, every 6 months. And we, you know, and then we had a tax shop before that, so I've been going to Ada for 20 years. And we've watched the trends in the English world. There's nothing. That's nothing compared to how quickly things can change in the Western world. You know, the Western world's kind of funny. It stays the same in some ways, but in other ways, it changes every WISA that you have with styles and trends. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, we're somewhat fortunate that we're not as fast changing as some industries. You know, like obviously the technology industry, we won't change that fast, but it is a fashion industry. You know, it's based on the horse to start with, which is a major part, and that doesn't change a lot. Even though we try to make a change on the tack end of things, we push the envelope at every opportunity because every manufacturer tries to come up with something new to show at Denver in January. So because of that, trends do get started there, and you can see abrupt changes from one show to the next. And then on the other end, the clothing end, of course, fashions change quickly. And it's very interesting to see how every manufacturer seems to come up with the same category of change at the market. And I don't know how they get this, if they get a memo from everybody that gets shared, but they seem to follow the same trends or catch on to the same trends in a three-month period. And it's very interesting to see that happen.
And so is it just the degree of bling with the Western, especially the girls? More bling comes in and then the less bling comes in?
I think so. I think it's I think it goes back and forth. You know, it gets to an extreme to one side, and then it goes back to a little more core or casual, and that seems to be the trend in our fashion. We overdo it, and then it kind of goes back to what we had 15 years ago.
Well, now
and,
is it open to the public? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
The other interesting thing about that is it trends into not just clothing. Like if you see bling on belts, for example, suddenly you see it on headstalls and bridle components. It trends
right
throughout the entire industry in all categories.
Now, is it open to the public or not?
It's not.
Okay.
Only qualified retailers.
Aren't there permanent vendors there? Do I understand that there's permanent vendors at this market that actually stay and then it is open to the public or not?
There is permanent vendors, but it's still not open to the public. They have
okay
to be a qualified retailer to get
gotcha
in the building.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's
I
like
wasn't
a shopping
sure how
mall for retailers. They can go anytime.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's open every day of the week for those qualified retailers. And then when we have our show, of course, it's a much bigger event.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, okay, cool. Very good. Well, we're going to have to get out there and cover it sometime. As I said, we've done Ada so much, and I'm getting sick of Philadelphia, to be honest with you. So I think Denver sounds a lot more exciting.
Come out west in January. Denver is really a lot of fun. You know, there's not just the stock show and our show, but we've also got the downhill ski race at Steamboat Springs. They've got the Americana Music Festival. They've got a cowboy poetry gathering in Arvada, which is near Denver. There's a lot going on that's Western.
I'm in. Let's go. Glenn
yeah
will get you on
right
the show.
Jamie
we'll
lives in
Stonington.
For her, it's no big deal. She can. It'd take her an hour to fly there.
Yep, let's do it.
That sounds like fun to me. You know, it is a good time to go to Denver is in January. It's just That seems like the time you should be in Denver, right?
It does. Yep.
Yeah.
It's all the best.
Well, very good. I've heard lots of good things about your show, and hopefully we will get there one of these days. And good luck here coming up. I know you got a show coming up in September.
That's right.
Where can people find out more about it?
Denver-WESA.com.
All right, Denver-WESA.com. You can find out more information about the Western English Sales Association, the WESA show. And, of course, if you're a retailer, the rest of you just have to stay home and drool. That's all you can do.
Go to your nearest Western store and find the product that's most trendy this year.
And there are a ton of them. We have a bunch of Western stores here in Ocala, so we get to stop by occasionally, and Jennifer drools. So that's what we get to do here in Ocala. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate you joining us. Take care.
Thank you very much. Have a good day. So long.
Well, that'd be a fun one. You could get a new cowboy hat, Jamie.
I need one because clearly I didn't have one for the weekend. But, I was wondering, like, how do people fly with cowboy hats? You know, it's not like you can put it on your headrest. You can't lean back with one on your head. And then I'd worry about people crushing it when you put it in the overhead compartment. Glenn, what do you do when you fly with it?
I don't. See, that's the thing. I always had the same problem. Now, I know the true cowboys do have a hard-cased cowboy hat holder, they actually have it's hard-cased, so they can put it in the overhead compartment and not worry about it. But I worry about the same thing. It's like, that's why I never bring my cowboy hat, and I actually kind of look good in it, I think. So I never bring my cowboy hat, spend a lot of money on it, I never bring my cowboy hat any place that I have to go on a plane because of that. I have the same problem you do. We need a West person to tell us, okay, somebody hop on Facebook and tell us how we travel with our cowboy hat because we have no idea how we do
that. Yeah, I have no clue. Chad has the Aussie hat, which you can squash, and then it comes back, pops right back into place. Maybe that's a better idea. We'll go Aussie.
Yeah. Was that his hat you were wearing it in one picture?
Yes, that was
his. You look good in that, though. I mean, you look good in that. You should get one
Thanks.
Of those.
I literally felt like I was the man from Snowy River. If only I was out herding horses with a bullwhip. All I needed was a bullwhip.
I loved your oilskin. You were all set up. You did look Australian in that picture.
Yeah. And it was funny. They were giving out, they gave out jackets at Diamond D, and they were giving out these giant, long, yellow raincoats and ponchos, and I was like, can I have that one? Like, the oil skin, I wanted that one. And they were like, sure, whatever. And then I realized, I'm about to throw my leg over a strange horse with this giant flapping jacket on. And I was like, is it okay if I just mount? And they're like, yeah, literally jump up on this horse, raining, jacket flapping, wind blowing, you just stood there. I'm like, my horse didn't even stand still when you mount him with a treat. This horse just stood there. It's fine. I don't care. It didn't bother me. Awesome.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for our song today, and then we will – you know what? I think we're going to have to go to the backup song today because I forgot to upload a song.
It's time. Yay, I'm back. We get to hear it.
Yes, you do, because apparently I have forgotten to upload a song today. So you get to hear this, and we're coming back with some racing coverage and then all about the World Equestrian Games.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she talks about them, dreams about them, thinks about them all the time. Got to have them, be lost without them. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were what is it? Well, I talk about him and I dream about him. I live to love him and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those endless. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Yeah,
oh, yeah. Do I even need to say who that was? I mean, come on. That's Templeton Thompson, and you are listening to Girls and Horses on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Is that enough horses for you? Probably not. Well, thanks to Omega Alpha Equine for being our sponsor for today. And I'm back in town. I'm tired, and that song just is a pick-me-up, Glenn, so I don't care if you forgot to upload one. I'm very happy with that one.
Okay, good. I did it just for you.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. You're such a good
I had that plan.
Well, hey,
yeah.
There were a lot of horse races in the past week that we need to get caught up on, and a bunch over the weekend. And one race in particular that might have been the most exciting race I have ever watched. It was awesome. Glenn, you watched it too?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Now, of course, we're talking about the race it's the one with Mike Smith. I'm getting them all confused because they're doing the win and end to get into the
are you talking to Travers?
Well, I'm talking about the Travers, but they're doing the win and you're in. Like, if you win the Travers, you're guaranteed a spot in the races, champ, Breeders' Cup. God, what's wrong with me? I need some more coffee.
Hey, take a week off. Look what happens to you.
I don't even remember what Breeders' Cup is. So the Travers was over the weekend. And, again, the winner of this is straight on into the Breeders' Cup Classic. So we got to listen to this race. It was so awesome.
Fifth Travers. And they're off. And presto, Bayern's in front. In the blink of an eye, he's in front by three. Charge Now comes away second. Tonal is forwardly placed today, and so too Wicked Strong, and they're coming after Bayern in the opening quarter mile, and Tonalist, the Belmont winner, has taken the lead going into the clubhouse turn. He goes a bit wide. Wicked Strong is following him. Bayern now has that lead by a length as Tonalist went wide into the turn. Wicked Strong right in behind the lead. He's running in third, a break of four. Back to Charge now fourth. Mr. Speaker settles in mid-pack, racing in fifth position. Then Viva Mallorca, followed by V.E. Day, Longshot Ulan Bator, Kid Cruz, and like he was in the Derby, Commanding Curve is way behind. The opening quarter was 23, and the half in 47-1. This pace is strong, and Bayern is the front runner as usual. Tonalist now just off his flank second, and they are tracked intently by Wicked Strong and Rajiv Mirage. A break of another six back to Mr. Speaker, and Charge Now is now running fifth toward the inside. Then farther back, paired up Viva Mallorca, V.E. Day, then Kid Cruz, Ulan Bator, and Commanding Curve still well behind. Three quarters up in a bruising 111-1, and they're rounding the far turn. Bayern still there with that lead. Tonalist ratcheting up that pressure, and here comes Wicked Strong, and those three are going to hit the quarter pole together, and Mr. Speaker's not far behind. He's now running fourth, and the field turns for home. Top of the stretch, Bayern coming up empty, not Wicked Strong, he's got the lead, and Mr. Speaker gonna try to take it to him. V.E. Day late on the scene, Tonalist down toward the inside, coming to the final 16th. It is still Wicked Strong, but here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Travers? It will be Too Close to Call! VE Day surging after Wicked Strong. A photo finish in a thriller. Tonalist was third.
It will be SuperBoss.com! My God, that guy could call a race. Holy crap, I've already watched it twice, and I got goosebumps a third time. That was awesome. Of course, a huge upset. 19-1, VE Day beats Wicked Strong. And watching the race, you think the whole way, it's like Byron has just got it. Breaks perfect, sitting like three lengths in the lead. It's just cantering, and everybody's galloping to catch up with him. And then that final turn for home, gets that leader every time, and the other horses came around. Wicked Strong coming through. Tonalist was up there, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, VE Day just goes boop, and just gallops by him, and it was, I didn't see the photo, but it had to be just inches, and 19-1. The trainer, Jimmy Jerkins, who's the trainer of VE Day, apparently was really muddy, and he's like, I didn't even know that it was VE Day who surged until at the very end he saw the silk, and he was like, oh my God, it's my horse. He didn't know. It was so muddy. So it was super exciting, and so we will see VE Day, and that horse just, what a power run, just came out of nowhere. There was another race.
Before you go on, VED actually returned $41 to win on the $2 bet. So it paid very well. And of course, the payoff for this was $1.25 million. So VED did pretty well yesterday. VED had won a race back in July for $100,000. So he's been having a good run here, and the trainer is now very happy with his cut on it. Assuming so.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. What is VE? As V as in Victor, E as in Elephant Day. I wonder where that name, what that name means. They always have interesting names.
Yeah, and VE Day, means something for World War II. That was the Victory Day in Europe. That they called it VE Day for Victory in Europe. So that's when we went into Berlin and in World War II and Hitler killed himself and we took over the Germany. That was called VE Day. So I'm assuming that's where that comes from for some reason. I don't know the reasons.
You're so smart. All I have to do is ask a question and you figure it out. That's fantastic.
I watch a lot of World War II movies. Really nothing to do with being smart.
That's very honest of you. And there was another race that took place over the weekend, and it's just worth mentioning. I don't think we have the audio for it, but it's worth mentioning because you know how I feel about Mike Smith. And Mike Smith is the rider of Game On Duke.
Love him. I think he's the best jockey in the world.
Yeah. So, just to add insult to injury, obviously he was the rider for Zenyatta and didn't really make a move in time for her in her final race, and now her record is 19-20. I like to think of it as 19-19. That 20th race never happened. Mike Smith was the longtime rider of Game On Dude. Game On Dude is the horse that my husband and I were at Santa Anita, and he was there, and, it was his game. It was his race to lose. I mean, there was nobody who was going to beat Game On Dude in that field. Nobody. And I had the number one and two horses picked. I mean, it was great. Game On Dude came in, dead last, barely fit. And, of course, that's the one my husband's like, if this is a sure thing, I'm going to go bet it, and didn't tell me that he bet a ridiculous amount of money on it, and, of course, I look like an idiot. So, Game On Dude is in the Pacific Classic this weekend. Mike Smith, longtime rider of Game On Dude. He's like, yeah, I don't want to ride him. And he picked another horse. So he always rides Game On Dude, and he's like, yeah, I'm not going to ride him this time. And so he hops on a horse named Shared Belief. Well, that would have been enough to make me bet on Game On Dude again. He's got a different jockey. So I would have been like, oh, my God, I'm putting all my money on Game On Dude because Mike Smith is riding another horse who will clearly come in second place, and Game On Dude is going to win. Yeah, Mike Smith won on Shared Belief. So they're saying he made a good decision in picking Shared Belief as his horse instead of riding Game On Dude. And Game On Dude was like the pace setter, led the whole freaking way around until that final turn, and then boom. Turns out, you know, Kayvon Dude is like 5 or 6. And so he hopped on Shared Belief, who's 3 years old and young. He says it's as good a young horse as he's sat on in a while. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. What are you ripping on Zinni? Probably. So anyway, it was a fantastic race for Shared Belief, and Game On Dude sadly did not win.
You're never going to let this go, are you? It's been years.
Hey, guess who owns Shared Belief? I'm going to move on. Guess who owns Shared Belief?
I don't know.
Do you listen to sports radio ever? Jim Rome?
No.
He's like a sports radio guy. He was on the sports radio when I was there, and he's kind of a moron and very opinionated, kind of annoying sports talk guy. Anyway, he's the one that owns. So it's a radio guy that actually owns Shared Belief. So that's good, at least. Yeah.
He makes more money than we do.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money. Jim Rome, he's got a TV show now, too, so whatever. Ours is coming, Glenn. It's coming.
Okay, yeah, I keep thinking that. Mm-hmm. Hey, we missed you last week for the anniversary party, but we did mention you. I did give you a shout-out during the anniversary party, I want to let you know. And I have to say, too, we have to give a big thanks to everybody who filled in for you. All of the auditors who filled in did a terrific job.
You guys were great. Let's see, Doreen filled in on Wednesday, and I'm so jealous that she got to hang out with Jared Rogerson and play the game. We're going to have to book him again.
And Doreen was kind because you mentioned it this morning about the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and Doreen was kind enough to come on Wednesday when she was on co-hosting anyway, and her father died from ALS. So she was kind enough to really give us a rundown, because I think there's a lot of people doing the Ice Bucket Challenge who have no idea what ALS is and don't really care. So she really did make it personal and explain the disease to us and how devastating it is and, you know, what her dad went through. So it was neat to, you know, to have her on at that time when those videos were just blowing up. I think they're starting to slow down a little bit now. But we were challenged, and on your behalf, we made a donation to ALS. So.
Well, I'm going to have to make my own donation because that's very sweet. And I didn't get the message. I guess Leslie Wiley sent me a Facebook message of a link where she had challenged us. And, of course, I couldn't read it. And one second that I finally got some Wi-Fi up there fighting with the teenagers for the, like, you know, hamster on the wheel Wi-Fi at the Diamond D, they were like, oh, you can't check your messages because you have to download – what is it, Messenger for Facebook or something like that?
Oh, yeah, they forced that last week on your phone. It's awful, too, by the way. I hate it.
Yeah, perfect timing. Thank you very much. I can't get any of my messages on Facebook while I was away because I can't download anything because the hamster on the wheel is exhausted from trying to run the Wi-Fi at the ranch. So I didn't get the message till I got back yesterday and got everything kind of settled in and saw that. And so I will make my own donation as well.
Yeah, you kind of missed the whole ice bucket thing that blew up last week with all the celebrities and everything. I mean, it was last week. I can't believe that has to be the most viral thing that's ever happened on the internet. Period.
It's fantastic. They've had over $6 million in donations and like 125,000 new donors for the year so far, and that was as of last week. So who even knows right about now?
I just looked it up this morning. I was kind of curious. $70 million in donations.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah, during the same time last year when they really didn't have anything going on, you know, during that same time period last year, they had $1.9 million. And this year, because of this video thing, it's at $70 million.
Oh, my gosh. I was way off. That's awesome. And what's really, really cool is I didn't realize that, you might have talked about this, but why the ice bucket challenge, like why they pour ice water over their heads is, I guess, it affects your nerves the way that ALS does. And so that's why this whole thing kind of got the rim. And again, I'm sure you guys talked about that, but I didn't know that. And I just read that and it was like, oh, that makes sense now. You know, it makes sense. And there's always people that are ripping it on because I'm trying to get caught up on everything and people are ripping. I'm like, this is, how many people have learned and heard the word ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease since this whole thing started? Everybody. So I think it's been a really good thing.
No, if you're a marketer and something like this happens to you, you just got a raise. You know, if you're the guy that put this out there and made it happen, yeah, you're set for life. But yeah, it's this is a marketer's dream here to have something like this happen. You know, apparently everything that goes viral has to do with water. Because look at my little pony video that got, what, 3 million views. And because my little pony was out there in the water splashing around. So it has to do with water. I think it's related.
Glenn, can I ask you a favor? Can
yeah,
you
don't
please,
say My Little Pony.
Can you please get a sound effect from My Little Pony's theme song? And every time you say My Little Pony, we'll hear, My Little Pony, My Little Pony.
No, you can do it. I'm not doing it.
Please, I don't know how to do it. But, Jennifer, I'll find it, and I'll email it to you, and you can upload. She knows how to do it. My Little Pony. Anyway, yes, My Little Pony rolling in water was, like, the cutest thing ever, and it got, like, a billion hits. So.
And it was water. I think it's water-related. Only viral videos that have water go big. I'm just saying.
We should test that theory.
I know.
We should test that theory.
But in the meantime, let's do this.
2014, the year of the 7th World Equestrian Games, and the turn of Normandy to stage the biggest equestrian event in the world.
And it is time for our WEG update today. I'm going to try and do this in somewhat of an orderly fashion. I'm actually organized for this, so there you go.
Wow.
We want to break down what's been happening. We know what's coming up so that you guys that are only following a little bit will have some idea of what's going on. Those of you that follow it in depth can get a lot more coverage than we're going to give you, but we want to help you out a little bit. Competitions happening today. Well, first of all, over the weekend we had the opening ceremonies. We're going to talk to our reporter on the scene here in a couple of minutes about that because she was there and watched it there. The coverage from Universal was very disappointing. The hour they did on the opening ceremonies was disappointing, to say the least. Apparently, there were over 100 horses in the open ceremonies, and I think we saw two. The Parade of Nations, the guy that was editing it, decided that he figured out where the slow motion button was. So every time they showed a flag, which they showed more than the riders themselves, he would go into slow motion on the flag. It was just cut up and chopped up and not well done at all. So actually, I hope we get a better report here in a little bit. I got to talk to Darlene earlier, so yeah.
Question. I think I saw something on Facebook or a bunch of people posting a video from the opening ceremonies. And I think, and because it wasn't very clear, because like you said, the coverage wasn't great. Was there a guy named Lorenzo who did his like ocean
the
thing?
The Flying Frenchman. Yes, and she, we'll talk about our Darlene. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I did see the video of that. The opening ceremony was apparently spectacular. It's just the coverage of it wasn't great from our end. But the 21,000 people there apparently had a great time. So we'll find out more about that. Coming up on today, we have dressage has started with the team and individual Grand Prix, sessions 1 and 2 today, sessions 3 and 4 tomorrow. The way this works is, and this is very confusing, I'll try and make it as simple as possible. The Dressage Grand Prix runs over 2 days, and the team medals will be awarded tomorrow, Tuesday evening, after the Dressage Grand Prix run. So all the riders that are riding in Dressage will compete today and tomorrow and do their Grand Prix tests. At the end of the day tomorrow, they will award the team medals for Dressage. And then what happens, this is where it gets confusing, but dressage is so much different than the others, is the next day on Wednesday, the top 30 scorers out of the team dressage will go on to the individual competition. So they, out of the 70 or 80 riders, they're only going to take 30 onto the individual competition. So your Grand Prix team scores really do count to get you into the next level. So they'll ride again in what's called the Grand Prix Special on Wednesday in the top 30 in the team competition. Out of that 30 from Grand Prix Special, the top 15 then go on Friday to ride in the freestyle. And the winner of the freestyle then, with all the scores combined, they'll figure out who wins the individual medal. So team medals will be awarded tomorrow. Individual medals will be awarded on Friday after the freestyle dressage. But you have to come in prepared. All 80 of them come in prepared to do a freestyle, but only 15 will actually get to do it in the end. So right. That's how dressage works. Did I explain that well enough? It's kind of confusing.
No, it's still confusing. you did good. I'm still shocked at the whole totalist thing. I'm trying to get caught up on that.
Reining, the team competition is started today, and the individual qualifier round. It works very similar to dressage. So the team competition in reining has begun, and I was watching – actually, I was on FEI TV this morning watching dressage and reining. They had them both going. And then the para dressage, which we cover – we do once a month over on the Dressage Radio Show. We have Para on there, and their team tests started today as well. So that is what has begun today. Let's head over to France with our roving reporter by the name of Darlene Ricker, who is there covering it for a number of publications, including the Horse Radio Network. She was at the opening ceremonies and also got to spend some time with the endurance team yesterday. Let's hear about that. Well, now we have our first live report from Darlene Ricker, our reporter on the scene in France, to talk to us about the start of the World Equestrian Games. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. And I assume you're eating well and everything is good in France?
I am. I'm going to weigh probably 800 pounds upon my return.
I saw pictures of your first breakfast there, and it was like made for 12 people.
Exactly.
Well, we did start the World Equestrian Games. Of course, Saturday was the opening ceremonies, and we got to see it on Universal Sports here, NBC, which was absolutely, by the way, terrible coverage because it barely showed anything, and then they chopped it up so much it was just a mess. So tell me it was better than that.
It was. Actually, it was a very coherent program. It flowed really well, but it was one of those things that you just had to be here to see, to fully appreciate.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like Cirque du Soleil. You got to see it to appreciate it. You can't watch it on TV. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, tell us about it.
Okay. Well, had about 100 horses, about 300 human performers, most of them dancers, you know, that went around the horses while they were performing. The interesting thing about this opening ceremony compared to others I've seen is it was very much a light and illusions type show, optical illusions.
Mm-hmm.
The arena, okay, the theme was Around the World in 80 Horses. So basically they took us on a trip around the world throughout history showing the importance of the horse, which could sound really boring, but they made it absolutely beautiful with this very, very sophisticated use of lighting and the light grid. I can give you a couple of examples. The end of the show was Lorenzo, also known as the Flying Frenchman, who has a group, a herd of Lusitanos that he controls. They're at liberty. No saddles, no bridles, nothing.
And everybody's seen the video of him in the ocean with them, you know,
exactly.
Roman riding him in the ocean, yeah.
Okay, well, guess what? It looked exactly like that in person, and I'm not kidding. However they did it, Glenn, with the lighting, they turned the arena floor of Dornano Stadium, which is the main, it's a soccer stadium that's been converted for the dressage and jumping. Holds 21,000 people. It was absolutely packed, and that's sand footing at present. But I tell you, you look down from the stands, and when Lorenzo was out there, it looked as though the horses were running from the beach towards the water with the waves kind of ebbing and building towards them. And they actually made it move as though the ocean was moving. And at one point, I swear, and I can't swim, so I wasn't too happy about this. It looked like it looked like the water was moving up towards the stands.
It did. That's one part they did show on TV, and it was it looked so real. Now, all the special effects they did on the with that light show, that show on the floor, just were. I didn't know you could do some of that stuff. The ships going across, they looked 3D. They looked like they were 20 feet high. It was amazing. It was
exactly.
Amazing. Yeah.
Did they show the chessboard?
I saw the chessboard in the video this morning, and that was pretty cool.
It was very cool. They made a black and white chessboard. They turned that arena with lighting into a black and white chessboard with black and white horses moving onto the different squares as you would strategically move pieces in a chess game.
Yeah, like you're playing chess.
Exactly. And then there were dancers out there in black and white costumes who would kind of point here and there and dance around the horses and kind of guide them to whichever square they were supposed to move to. It was really fun, really, really creative.
So the audience seemed to like it? Was it?
Oh, yes. And it built. You know, it started off slowly and the effects became more and more spectacular, and by the end of the evening, everyone was just on their feet cheering.
And then, of course, they had the Parade of Nations, like they always do, where they brought it. Now, one thing about the Parade of Nations is not all the athletes are there yet. The ones who start later in the week or next week aren't there, where you know, because they're not even allowed to bring their horses in yet. So you don't see at the Olympics where everybody shows up and they all hang out in the Olympic Village till it's their time and they all go to the opening ceremonies. You don't see that so much here, do you?
Yes, you're absolutely correct about that, Glenn. But something interesting with these games, quite a few of the performers are here and more of them marched in the Parade of Athletes than often happens at the World Equestrian Games or even at the Olympics, because the organizers were very, very smart here in Normandy. Yesterday was a rest day, so that meant that a lot of the athletes who often don't elect not to march in the Parade of Athletes because they're going to have to get up and compete the next day or work their horses the next day actually were able to this time because of the way the schedule set up, which was great. And one funny thing that happened during the opening ceremonies, people, of course, it's in alphabetical order, starting with A. And so it goes A, B, C, D. And then all of a sudden, the United States comes in.
I noticed that. I was wondering about that.
Took me a while to figure it out. We're in France. And the United States in France is called Les États-Unis. E-T-A-T. So that's why we were in the E's.
Huh.
Because of how they spell the country name in French.
I didn't know that. I was wondering about that. That's funny. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. I know you got to spend some time on Sunday with the United States Endurance Team.
I did. I took a train out to their little stabling, which is close, very close to the English Channel. It's about 6 or 7 miles from Sawtee, which is the beginning and ending point for the endurance race. They have a cute little private stable that was leased from a private horse farm owner there. And he actually has a thoroughbred racing stable. And they have made arrangements so that the team can use his racetrack to practice and keep the horses fit. And they have to time it. So when he needs it for his horses, you know, vice versa, it's timed. Well, one of the days they had to do it at the same time. And those horses were going in an opposite direction. So I wasn't there at the time, but Emmett Ross, who's the chef to keep for the U.S. Endurance Team, told me that the endurance horses, you know, have been there, done that. They're a little bit older. Takes an awful lot to shake them up. But you have these 2- and 3-year-old thoroughbreds seeing this pack of horses cantering at them, going, oh, they're not supposed to be here. So we probably shouldn't be either.
So we had a few of them trying to take off, did we?
Got a little bit of a horse riot for a while, but everything calmed down.
Well, that's good. And, of course, they're coming up on Thursday. Will be their competition, and we'll be talking more about that as we get a little closer. Darlene, thank you so much. I'm going to let you get off to the stadium. Have a terrific time, and we'll keep checking in. And, of course, Darlene is with EquestrianAuthors.com, and you can find her reporting. She's reporting for a number of periodicals in place, so you'll see her articles popping up over the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Darlene.
My pleasure. Thanks, Glenn.
Now, just to give everybody a recap, if we remember back to 2010 to Lexington, to give everybody an idea of what countries did very well, if you were to think back, who do you think was the top country in Lexington, Jamie? Do you remember as far as medals?
Germany?
You know, you would think that, but it was the UK. The UK had 19, and Germany was after them with 13. Netherlands was next, and then the United States was in fourth place with 9. So, and by the way, early results now coming in from dressage. They're only on day one, so it's a team competition, but Germany's leading the way in dressage. United States, however, after two of the four riders, is in fourth. In dressage, Adrian Lyle on Wizard did very well, had a very good test, and is now sitting in sixth place individually. So she did very well, and then Tina Kanya actually rode Collecto, and is sitting in like 19th or 20th place at this point. But it's early on. The big riders have not come in yet. They'll mostly be tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with all of that. It's early competition, as I said. But, you know, the jog up is something where the vet inspection before eventing, that's a big thing, and it's a big thing, too, before dressage. Well, apparently, the dressage horses don't like it a whole lot, and we've seen some horses not like it in eventing, but apparently the dressage horses really don't like it. And there was an interview with Carl Hester that I wanted to play for you where he talks about the jog up. Of course, Carl Hester is one of the big riders for England.
Carl, trot up all go successfully this morning?
Yeah, that all went well. I mean, it's quite a dangerous procedure, the trot up. It's supposed to be one of the easiest parts of the competition, but you could actually see a lot of the horses misbehaving this morning. I know the judges are quite concerned, you know, about the trot up because it can be quite dangerous. But our four sailed through, absolutely great, and all four of them looking on top form. So we're very happy with how they trot in, and the vet's happy. That's the most important thing.
Yes, watching it through, there's quite a lot of lively action out there. Some of them misbehaving, like you say.
Well, you know, the thing is, you get stallions, you get geldings, you get mares, you get a whole different array of horses all thrown together in hand. And of course, you know, they're very disciplined when you ride them, but suddenly they get this sense of freedom. I think just when they're in their snaffle bridles, and some of them can be quite disobedient out there.
I guess some of them also know their job when they get.
Well, there you go. Now, something did happen today. Apparently, I don't know whether it was one of the French riders. I don't know which rider it was. But one of the riders in the dressage could not get her horse to go through the tunnel. Well, you know when the bell goes off, you got, what is it, a minute to get into the ring?
Yeah.
Jamie, is it a minute? She could not get her horse to walk through the tunnel. She ended up having to get off and walk her horse through the tunnel and got into the ring with, like, 2 seconds to spare. She didn't get any warm-up around the edge or anything. She got in with 2 seconds to spare. Can you imagine coming all the way to the qualifying, working the years it takes to get a horse to Grand Prix level, and then qualifying for the WEG and not getting into the ring in time and getting disqualified? Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, my God, what a nightmare. So, but, you know, the jog-up part, like, event horses, they're super fit, and so they always go crazy and jog-up. But the dressage horses, you know, these horses don't get hand trotted. They go from their stall to the cross ties to the arena, back to the cross ties to their stall. Like, they don't get turnout, nothing. So this is like a total party for them. You would think, though, that they would at least practice before a stage such as the World Equestrian Games, but they don't, I guess. And that just goes to show you how well they're keeping it together in the dressage arena.
Right, exactly. And he said, you know, when you were on them, they're fine, but apparently, when you're off of them, it's not so good.
Funny, and she couldn't get in. Oh, my God, what a nightmare. And then to, like, you have to mount from the ground real quick before you get up, and then you've got your tight pants on and your coat, and you're trying to get it. You, like, can't get your foot in the stirrup. Your top hat's flying off. Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
And we all know that these horses aren't warm blood. Exactly. These horses aren't 15-2 either.
No. That is so funny. Oh
yeah, it was. I've been trying to see if I could figure out. Oh, here we go. Let's see if I can figure out who that was. Girl from Australia, actually. It was Marie Tompkinson from Australia who had the trouble. That's Now, reining apparently is going well. Those horses don't. They're bumpers. They don't do anything. It's going well for the United States. Two of the four rides are in for the team, and the United States is leading the way at this point with Belgium, Germany, and Australia following behind. So that's the lineup there. And the big riders for the United States are yet to come, so we have not seen them go in the ring yet. And the big riders for all the countries, actually. So Mandy McCutcheon and her husband and Sean Flaherty haven't gone in the ring yet. So we have all of those to go yet. So those rankings in dressage and reining will change as tomorrow comes on when all the big riders get in there.
No. Well, keep me up to date, especially, like, text me when the Americans are about to go ride, and I'll sit in front of the computer.
Well, you know what I'd like to see, and I can't figure out when he's going to go because they don't have the times on the schedule. They do have the times here. Stephen Peters is scheduled to go. But I'd have to convert the time and figure out when. On Legolas, he's scheduled to go a little later in the day. But you're right. And, you know, Totalus wasn't the only horse out. There were two of the German horses, the top German horses, that were out. So three of the top horses in the dressage were actually out of competition due to health issues. So it's it did change things. Now, I'm trying to see when... I'm taking a look at the schedule here to see Charlotte
Deidre.
It's kind
of fun while you're looking at that. It's fun to look on like Eventing Nation and see like how much of just partying these people are doing. That they're over there and taking pictures of the
downtown. They do have some downtime.
Yeah, they do. It's really, really fun. They're all going just crazy fun. So if you want to check that out and just see what all the crazy things people are getting into, Horse Nation, Eventing Nation, really, really interesting.
Charlotte Desjardins is fifth from last of the 100 riders that are going. So, and, of course, she's number one in the world. So we'll see what happens with her on the Allegro. Well, that's what's coming up.
Wait a second.
Eventing starts on Wednesday with the jog.
You got to tell me, hold on, back to Charlotte, who goes after Charlotte? Because that sucks.
Yeah, okay, the person after Charlotte is Anessa Merkalova from Russia.
Now you're screwed. Anessa, sorry about your luck. Babe.
Anessa, take up tennis, Anessa, because you're going after
Seriously.
Charlotte.
Seriously. Can you imagine the point of view of the judges is they have been sitting here watching the same damn test for, like, days, right? Days. And over and over and over again, this horse after horse after horse. And then Charlotte is, oh, here's the one. Fifth from the end. We're getting to the end. Charlotte Desjardins, the pinnacle, comes in and puts in an amazing test. And they're basically, like, the judges are like, okay, we're done.
10-10-10-10-10.
Yeah, 10-10-10. And who's this? Oh, dude, that is a bad draw.
They have horses there?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I have a statistic on that that's going to amaze you. You were just talking. They give multiple, what is there, 10 or 15 different sections that they score during a dressage test? Is it 10 or 15, something like that, in a Grand Prix test? The judges are sitting there scoring each of these individual sections separately as they're going along. Each judge is going to score 25,000 marks within 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
How much do you think that all starts to look alike?
Do you think that when they are like, well, I would love to get a judge on and like a judge who will talk for real and will like voice disguise them and just be like, listen, do you ever just doze off and just, you know, like you miss something. You're like, that was a 7. No, like, what do you do?
Well, there are two demonstration sports that are on the schedule that start on Wednesday. One of them starts, and that's horseball. So they're going to be showing that actually on FEI TV as well. And these are demonstration sports, and the reason they do these demonstration sports is to determine if they want to include them later as an official sport. So horseball is very big in France. That's huge in France and Europe.
Yeah.
And they all play horseball, women and men and everything play over there. And the other one that's a demonstration sport this time is polo. And polo is one, it's been around for 100 and bazillion years, probably longer than anything else, horse-wise. It's one I'm shocked that really is not, to be honest with you. Other than it takes a whole bunch of horses and it would be very expensive.
Yeah, but that's true. I didn't even think of polo not being in the WEGs. That is one of those sports where, of course, polo would be in there. And you're right, because every country has polo players, especially the South American countries. You know, it's huge in South America.
And if you think of the way the polo is organized, polo teams are owned. They're owned, like football and basketball teams. They're owned by individuals. So you own your own polo team, and these guys are all filthy rich, so they could get their horses there. They do travel to Europe with all their horses. The problem is you got a lot of riders with 4 or 5 horses each. So you're taking, you know, 50 horses for one team. But they're all wealthy. They could do it. I think it'd be a great addition to WEG, actually. Something a little different, too.
Say you're a chick and you're at a bar. And some dude walks up to you and he's like, "How's it going? Did you fall from heaven? Yeah, you know, was your father whatever." He tries a pickup line, and you're like, "Whatever." And he'd be like, "Did you know I own my own polo team?" That would get you somewhere. Like that would be, "Oh, you own your own polo team? Yes, I will go home with you. Sure, why not?"
That's the one you want to catch.
That's the one. If you are in Wellington and some dude comes up to you and he's like, "Hey, I own my own polo team," and he's not lying, like, I wonder how many people use that to lie. Did I ever tell you what, this is totally random, but when I met Chad, my now husband,
he said he owned a polo team?
No, but we talked about, you know, we were on a plane together and we talked about what he did for a living, and he said he was a fighter pilot in the Air Force. I go home and I'm like, "Oh my God, I met like the coolest guy." And to my brother, I said, "He's a fighter pilot in the Air Force." And my brother started laughing and he was like, "Yeah, I've used that one."
I kind of thought that too, actually.
Yeah, he didn't say it like that. He wasn't like, "I'm a fighter pilot in the Air Force," but he might as well have, you know. And then I come home and I'm like, "Yeah, he's a fighter pilot." And my brother's like, "Yeah, that is like the biggest pickup line ever." He's like, "I totally used that one." Like, what? He's lying about that? Turns out he wasn't lying. But yeah, I own a polo.
Did you try Googling him to see?
Glenn, as we were leaving each other from our first meeting, I was like, "Dude, what's your full name?" And he was like, "You might as well just call me Chad Google Jennings." And he totally knew I was going to Google him. Yeah, he knew.
You know, that is an advantage when you're dating today. Internet does make it a whole lot easier to do that whole background. You don't have to hire, like, a private eye anymore.
Yeah, he's, like, ungoogleable, though. Like, those guys are ungoogleable. I mean, I'm sure some will come up now that I've posted, but about him, but he was pretty much ungoogleable. I was like, "Son of a... can't find out anything. No dirt."
Well, it's good to have you back, Miss Jennings.
Thank you very much. It is good to be back.
And we will be here tomorrow morning with the safety show. We got Lindsay coming on here. Of course, we'll have a WEG report as well. I believe that there's a special surprise for the safety show tomorrow. So you can tune in. There'll be an Olympian on, from what I understand.
Ooh.
So you tune in tomorrow. And then, of course, we'll be back here again on Wednesday morning here live on Horses in the Morning. Don't forget to download the app. You can find it in the App Store at iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network and listen to all of our shows. And if you missed the anniversary show, it's going out on all the different feeds, so it's not up on Horses in the Morning yet. It will be, but you can go to stablescoop.com and find it over there, or Driving Show, either one. And you can find, if you want to take a listen and hear the little bit of fun that we had celebrating our 6th anniversary. I think that's it, Jamie. Let's call it a day. Hey, by the way, the auditors all got the closing exactly right.
What do you mean?
They knew. Spader and Gelb. They knew it. They had it. They said it.
Oh, good. Thank you.
All at the right time,
Robin.
And everything represented well. You can be proud.
I'm proud. Thanks, Doreen. Thanks, Robin. You guys are awesome. Spader.